The peril of lukewarmness. You're expecting me to go to Revelation, the third chapter, aren't you? We might go there in our journey tonight, but we're not going to start there. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Judges, the fifth chapter. The book of the Judges. Judges, chapter 5. And let me explain just very briefly the context of here. Deborah and Barak had been successful in battling an army, battling the people that weren't pleasing God. And they were successful in their battle. And in chapter 5, Deborah was singing a testimony of praise to God for delivering them from the enemies of God. And in the middle of, or towards the end of her song, in verse 23, she says these words in her song. "Curse ye Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Who said, "Curse ye Meroz," according to this verse? Someone tell me.
The angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord. Very clear in the Bible that the angel of the Lord. Who was the angel of the Lord? If you have a King James Version, you should know who the angel of the Lord is. Who was the angel of the Lord? King James translators put a code in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Whenever the angel of the Lord is referred to, and the Lord or the angel of God, whenever the Lord or God is on all capital letters, it is always referring to a pre-incarnate Christ Jesus. That was in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The angel, it was actually Jesus who came and called Moses out of that burning bush. It was Jesus himself who, when Abraham was called to offer his son, and Abraham raised his knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord said, wait, stop. And in Jesus' day, while he was here on earth, he told the Jews this great declaration: "Abraham rejoiced to see me in my day." And they said, "What are you saying? You're not 50 years old yet." And yet Abraham lived a way long time ago. They didn't understand this. And so it's actually Jesus. And there, you make a study of that. That is a very intriguing and inspiring study. The angel of the Lord came to Hagar. And in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the Lord saw that Abraham, that Moses turned, was the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ. So it's actually Jesus here. This is kind of startling because we tend to think of Jesus as someone who's meek and lowly and non-resistant. We tend to think of him like that. And we seemingly forget that when he comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth, the Bible says he's going to reign with a rod of iron. And here, the angel of the Lord, which is referring to Jesus, said, "Curse ye Meroz! Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof!" Why? Because they didn't get involved in the work of the Lord. And so tonight, dear friends, if you're a member of this congregation or a member of another congregation, but your hands don't get involved in the work of the kingdom, it could well be that Jesus has a curse on your life. Wake up. Are you a worker in the kingdom of God? Are you walking closely with the Lord Jesus? Or are you following him like the disciples and Peter following him afar off? The outline of our message tonight is the possibility of lukewarmness. Looking in the Bible at some people who became or were lukewarm. Some practical pointers that indicate that we're a lukewarm Christian. And then we'll get to the message, the peril. It's peril, it's not pearl, it's peril of lukewarmness. And in conclusion, the answer for lukewarm Christians. The possibility of lukewarmness. Every one of us are a candidate to become lukewarm and indifferent. That word lukewarm comes from the Greek word which means to expose to danger, injury, loss, or destruction. And you know the story of Jesus talking to the Laodicean church. We'll pick up on that later tonight. I will spew thee out of my mouth, Jesus said to them, because that's a curse, isn't it? If Jesus says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're neither cold nor hot. Every one of us is a candidate. Lukewarmness is a process. You know, when you get a glass of cold water, this glass of cold water has two ice cubes in it. But you let it here long enough, exposed to the weather, exposed to the atmosphere and the temperature in this building, guess what? It is a process of becoming lukewarm. And if this glass of water is put in a microwave and brought to the desk here, 150 degrees, the same thing's going to happen. It's going to cool off and cool off. Lukewarmness is a process. Lukewarmness is a result of being influenced by our environment and the people that we associate with. So there lies in each of us the possibility to be influenced by the people, by the ways, attitudes, and actions of those individuals that we are in contact with on a regular basis. Secondly, tonight, let's look in the Bible to some people who became or were lukewarm. And Meroz here is actually a town. It's not a person. According to the concordance, it's a town. It's a group of people who wouldn't lift a finger to help in this battle. I think of the first time I had the privilege of going to Guatemala after the earthquake in the 70s. And one day they told us from headquarters we're going out into a strongly Catholic community to rebuild a house for a woman whose husband, who has a large family and whose husband is in prison. And so we went out there to build this, 12 by 16 little house, frame house, built out of lumber. We had the whole crew with us and a generator. And while we were constructing this house for this woman and her family, I began to see people from the communities coming around and gathering in a whole circle around the building project. And one time I stopped and I counted 40-some people out around this building project. 40-some people. And they wouldn't lift a finger to help her. They were just onlookers. Onlookers. I'm burdened tonight. Because sometimes it appears that in our churches, we have just some onlookers. No, they'll never visit the widows. They don't want to have devotions. In fact, they want to come to church in their half everyday clothing. Something obviously is wrong with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Onlookers, lukewarm, Meroz. Curse ye Meroz, by whose authority? Someone wrote, the angel of the Lord's. What has Miraz done? Nothing. Why then is Miraz to be cursed? Because he did nothing. What ought Miraz to have done? Come to the help of the Lord. Could not the Lord do without Miraz? The Lord did do without Miraz. Did the Lord sustain then any loss? No, but Miraz did. Is Miraz then to be cursed? Yes, and that bitterly. Is it right that a man should be cursed for doing nothing? Yes, when he ought to have done something. Who says so? The angel of the Lord. That servant which knew the Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. Jesus himself is not non-resistant. He was non-resistant as he faced Calvary. But he himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, neither of them are non-resistant. They resist evil. And when you and I allow selfishness to take over our life, or when we begin to failure to take heed, to follow the Lord Jesus closely, God has every right to do some drastic things in our lives, to get our attention. Wake up! Follow me! Or you'll end up accursed and beaten with many stripes. Miraz is an example of lukewarmness. Nadab and Abihu are another example of lukewarmness, where God gave them specific instructions what to do on the Day of Atonement and how to enter the Holy of Holies. And they became a little careless. History tells us the high priest would read through the scriptures, the Old Testament laws pertaining to the Day of Atonement for weeks before the Day of Atonement to make sure he followed in great detail. Nadab and Abihu got a little careless, a little sloppy. They forgot to read this book with an open heart. Oh God, help me to be obedient. Oh God, you say so and so and so that I need to do this and that. And they became a little careless. And God smote them with death, because they offered strange fire. That was fire that was not in keeping with God's order of commandments. Carelessness, indifference, coldness. Lot is another man who became careless and indifferent. And the Bible says concerning him, he observed Abraham's worship. Doesn't say it in those words, but that's the gist. He observed Abraham's worship. That startles me tonight to think that sitting among us tonight, there may be an individual here or there who is simply observing Brother Stanley's worship or someone else. They're simply observing, but they are not worshiping. That's a possibility tonight. Somebody here simply observing the rest of us worshiping. We're all candidate for this, you know. Israel's judges in chapter 4 and verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Peter, we have already referred to him three times now in this weekend, who followed Jesus as Jesus went from Pilate's hall and the judgment hall. He followed afar off. Five of the 10 virgins failed to have enough of oil in their lamps. And when the bridegroom came, their light, their lamps had gone out, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. I asked you tonight, young folks, fathers and mothers, grandpas and grandmas, do you have a sensitive ear to the voice of that still small voice, the Holy Spirit? Or are you like that young man I had to deal with some years ago who was involved in a hit-and-run accident? And it was announced on the radio that the police were looking for such and such a pickup, giving the description. I don't think they had the license plate number. And word came to us as a ministry about this. And I called the young man and I said, we have something we need to talk about. Were you involved in a hit and run accident at such and such a time at such and such a place? Yeah, I was. So when you kneel down to pray at the close of the day, don't you hear a still small voice saying, you better call yourself in and confess what you've done wrong? Yeah, I do. I hear that voice. I said, what are you planning to do with that still small voice? And then he said, I thought eventually it would go away. Friend, tonight, if you have quenched the Holy Spirit in any particular area of your life where you have become strayed away from the commandments of God, and you have quenched that spirit, and quench that spirit so that spirit no longer convicts you of your sin. There is no hope for you, for your soul, unless somebody intercedes for your soul's behalf. This is serious business to quench the voice of the Holy Spirit. 5 out of the 10 virgins. And then we come, of course, to the Laodicean church. We'll turn there now, Revelation, the 3rd chapter. The whole congregation, Miras, was a whole town of people, a whole group of people, perhaps like a whole congregation. And so it is with the Laodicean church. Revelation 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That sounds like cursing, doesn't it? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See that? The Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And I am so thankful that tonight, amongst us tonight, is a preacher that's far greater than I am. And that is the Holy Spirit. And when this meeting is dismissed, the Holy Spirit will still be active. He'll go home with us, unless we have quenched his voice to the point that he has given up on us. Point number 3, some practical pointers that indicate lukewarmness. When we don't want to be saved from our sins, we just want to be saved from the penalty of our sins, is an indication we are way off track. Yeah, we just don't want to go to hell. But we want to continue in our selfishness and indifference and proud and arrogance. And then we want to say, Lord, just forgive me. Just forgive me. I can't help it. My father was this way. Just forgive me. When we want to be saved from the penalty of our sins rather than from our sins ourselves is an indication of lukewarmness. Another indication of lukewarmness in our lives is when we lose a desire to commune with God. I almost answered the question in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Was it the second question or something like that? And I thought, no, I'll just sit and listen. But I had the privilege of having funeral services of several people in the community where I had everything to do. No other minister involved. And one of those I had was asked to have prayer with the family 5 times within 2 hours. I've learned to appreciate a plural ministry tremendously. After you prayed 4 times for a family that's bereaving, what do you pray the 5th time? But on one of those occasions, and out of the graveside service, another neighbor, elderly neighbor, was watching and listening to our graveside service. And then he said, came to me privately after the service, and he said, I just love to see your well-worn Bible. Did you know there are some preachers who say, let me see your Bible, and I will be able to tell you a whole lot about your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a well-worn Bible tonight? I say, no, I have a new Bible. And I know it takes a while for a new Bible to get worn. That's why I've got this one rebound 2 times. Does your Bible have any notes in it? Anything underlined? Some people say they have convictions against that. Well, God bless you if that's your convictions. But you know, there's a lot of other things written in our Bibles that isn't necessarily inspired from the Word of the Lord God Himself, like notes and so forth that the writers and publishers have put in. More important than that, are you involved in feeding your soul with the Word of God on a regular basis? Do you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness? Oh God, I need this word more than my necessary food. Feed me, Lord, as I open the pages of the Word of God. Give me something that satisfies my soul and gives me strength for the temptations and struggles that I'm facing. Loss of a desire to commune with God. I will never forget it, having the privilege of visiting a neighboring church many years ago. Last night of their revival meetings, the minister behind the pulpit was a bishop from a neighboring state, and he had tears streaming down his cheeks as he was preaching the word that night. He spoke with tremendous conviction and tremendous power, with the tears just streaming down his eyes. His daughter, on one occasion, an adolescent daughter, asked him, Daddy, why do you always cry when you preach? His response was, because I have a burden for the souls that are sitting in the audience. Oh, that not one soul would be lost, but all make it to glory. That dear brother got discouraged in church life, and evidently it affected his Bible reading. It affected how close he was walking to Jesus. One Sunday morning at the end of the service, he announced to his congregation, not sharing it with his own family, previously not sharing it with his own ministerial team, I am resigning from all my bishop responsibilities. And that dear brother left his wife, shacked up with another woman, and attended the bar on a regular basis. coldness and lukewarmness is a process, and it didn't happen overnight. Did you catch that? It happens a little poquito at a time, a little bit at a time. I'm going to skip my devotions tonight or this morning. I don't have time, a little bit at a time. Loss of desire to commune with God. Letter C. When you and I live by what feels good now instead of truth and what we know we ought to do. Letter D. When we compare ourselves with the secular world. Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And we have a tendency as we become lukewarm, we have a tendency to compare ourselves with our neighbors. Oh, we go to church every Sunday. Oh, we dress, we don't wear shorts. Our wives and our girls wear dress modestly. We're pretty righteous. Yeah, we are. And you try to convince yourself, and all the while something's happening inside that God is very displeased with. When we compare ourselves with the secular world, when we consider their partially sanctified lives to be holiness, and we have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Letter F, when we pick and choose what commandments we want to obey, it's an indication of lukewarmness. Sure, we want to obey the Bible, but there's a couple of them that are just too old-fashioned. Letter G, when we attend church, but the preaching of the word never changes anything in our lives. Used to have a next door neighbor woman, worked in her house one time, and she said this, Elvin, I just covet your way of life, the way you conservative Mennonites live. I covet it, but I'm just not willing to pay the price. And then she went on to say that she's part of a weekly Bible study group of women from her church. How is it then that she ran away from home and shacked up with a man unmarried in another state, continuing to have a weekly Bible study and claiming she's on her way to heaven? How is this? How can these things be? Letter H, when we delve into opinionated mode. Now what are you saying, Brother Alvin? When we sit in our pews, in our churches, and we move into opinionated mode, I wish I never heard it in our churches. Where you go to the preacher after the service is over and say, that was just your opinions. That was just your opinions, those practical issues on nonconformity you were speaking. That was just your opinions. Very, very dangerous mode to adopt, friends. Rather than sitting and praying for your preacher and saying, what does God want me to learn from this exhortation this morning? Because when we develop an opinionated mode, you know what we're doing? We're becoming opinionated ourselves. That's right. We're telling our opinions don't match with Brother Stanley's opinions. I just don't agree with you. That's your opinions. When you and I go into that opinionated mode, we are on dangerous ground. Mark it, underline it, understand it, and live it out, that you stay away from that. Rather sit humbly in the house of God with this kind of prayer, Lord, how do you want me to direct my life? Would you speak to me through your messengers this morning? I need it. I need your direction. God, help me. Letter I, when we think about life on earth more than heaven in eternity, is an indication of lukewarmness. A certain father died some years ago, and his wife explained to his little boy that, "Don't cry, Daddy went to heaven." The little boy was shocked. He said, "Daddy went on a trip to heaven?" Whenever Daddy would go on a trip, he would talk about it for days before he went. "But I never heard Daddy ever talk about going to heaven. Never heard. I don't think he went to heaven. He didn't understand everything." But he did understand, didn't he? Maybe more than Daddy understood some valuable points. When we think about life on earth more than heaven and eternity, that's easy for us old people to say, because as the aches and pains gain momentum in our bodies, we get a longing, more and more of a longing for home and a new body. But think about it, young people. How much time do you spend thinking about eternity? You got your life before you, if the Lord gives you a long life. And you've got plans to make. I understand all of that. But when we think about life more than we think about heaven and eternity, may be an indication we're not following the Lord Jesus close as we should. Letter J, when we love their personal luxury and seldom share or give in a sacrificial way, we gain all we can and can it for our own personal enjoyment rather than sacrificially giving to missions and to the poor. Letter K, maybe an indication of lukewarmness when church attendance and church functions become secondary to us and other things become first place in our life. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else follows after." But we have a tendency to seek first the things of this world. Are you a faithful attendee at prayer meeting, your local church body functions, Christmas caroling? Are you there? Are you dependable? Are you a dependable helper? Or are you a miros and you don't lift your hand to the work of the kingdom? Letter L, when the offering is collected and it's only the leftovers that are thrown into the basket rather than the first fruits. Letter M, we are probably a lukewarm and indifferent Christian when we seldom or never talk to other people about Jesus, about the Bible, about eternity, and about judgment. It seems to me when Jesus said, "You follow me and I will make you fishers of men," and if we never do that, we are truly following Jesus pretty distantly. Fourthly, this evening, the peril of living a life of lukewarmness. Miras was cursed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was cursed. God punished Nadab and Abihu with death. Lot lost his wife and family and all of his possessions. He lost it all, except his two daughters. Israel was led into captivity, divorced by God the Father spiritually. It dispersed into the kingdoms of the world, buried into the nations of the world. Peter went out and he wept bitterly because of his following Jesus afar off and ultimately denying him three times. Five virgins missed the marriage supper of the Lamb. They missed the marriage. Laodicean church. Jesus said he's going to be spewed out of his mouth. And he says, "Thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked." Yes, that's the way life is when you follow Jesus afar off. In a shaking world, your confidence that you are ready to meet the Lord at the sounding of the trumpet, which will happen just like that, you're troubled. You're troubled. You're miserable. You're blind. I think that woman who shacked up, my neighbor lady who shacked up with a man from another state while having Bible study on a weekly basis, she is blind. She's blind. That's the way people are that follow Jesus afar off. In conclusion tonight, the answer for lukewarmness is found here in Revelation 3, Jesus' message to the Laodicean church. Repent. Be zealous. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Y'all know what repentance is? Have you repented from anything in your past? And let's say in 2024. Have you repented for anything? Or are you walking through 2024 in a self-righteous state? Thinking you are so righteous, you never need to tell the Lord, "I'm sorry. I left you down. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me." You know what repentance is? Have you repented lately? Have you? Are you living in a life of submission and surrender to that still small voice? But when that still small voice points out to you, you know this wasn't the right thing to say. This wasn't the right thing for you to do. What are you going to do about it? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That word "be zealous" comes from the Greek word to become heated or boil in pursuit of good. Is that your testimony? Is that your characteristic of life? To become animated. Oh, you want so much to do and please the Lord. It's your first desire in life more than anything else. Oh, just to please the Lord and be sensitive to His Word and be sensitive to His Spirit, which His Spirit always is in agreement with the Word of God. To boil or become heated and passionate for pursuit of good. That word "repent" in verse 19 simply means, according to Strong's Concordance, to think differently, to act differently, to speak differently. Doesn't the Bible say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Are you walking that new life? Or do you have some secret grudge hidden deep in your heart? Are you like that woman who said, I will never be able to forgive my father? Listen and respond. Jesus is pictured here in the Laodicean church outside the church door, knocking. If any man hear my voice and open his heart's door, I will come in and will sup with him. Little child, we all probably have all seen that picture of Jesus standing at a door. A lot of us have that picture hanging in our homes. Jesus standing at a door and knocking. A little boy once asked his daddy, "Did they let him in?" And daddy said, "I don't think they did." And then the little boy said, "They must have been living in the cellar and not heard him knocking." Have you been living in the cellar? Where's Jesus in relation to your own life? Inside or outside? Are you cursed or are you blessed by the angel of the Lord? You know, friends, God loves us so much, he sent his son to die and pay the price for our redemption. It's tremendous. Turn with me to Psalm 35 yet. Psalm 35 and verse 23. "Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord."